Hello, John.
I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
You're listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
There's not much you can do. So there's that.
So, John, I believe you've got some kind of exciting random thing to discuss before we get down to the meat of the content of our podcast.
Exactly.
Think of this as the delicious golden crust before you get down to the juicy chunks of steak and or kidney.
Yeah, as opposed to the slightly odd crust before you tuck into the raw sewage.
Do you have a lot of sewage pie, John?
Not as much as you'd think.
Right.
More than I expected.
I think you should go to a different branch of Greggs. That's disappointing.
Isn't it?
Shall we press on?
Let's
do that.
Right. Before we begin, Mike.
What?
This is a story that I found in the last couple of weeks. I'll give you the headline first.
Please do. Yeah. That's the traditional way.
Florida man shoots himself but doesn't notice for two whole days.
All right.
He only noticed a bullet hole in his arm when he finally changed shirts.
Now, there's a lot of layers to this. Probably more layers than he was wearing at the time.
Probably a few more.
So he shot him. What? Right. What combination of drugs was he on? Right. Is my first question.
Okay.
Florida man.
He accidentally shot himself while cleaning his handgun, but only noticed 2 days later when he changed his shirt and discovered the bullet hole in his arm.
All right.
Michael Blevins, 37.
Blevins.
Blevins. That's quite a pleasing name, isn't
it? Oh, he's also the same age as me now. You know, so that is
good.
That's an idle comment that I can factually make.
He checked himself into a hospital in Orange County on the Saturday after finding the entrance and exit wounds in his arm.
Okay.
According to the Daytona Beach News Journal, Mr. Blevins told police he had been cleaning his .22 caliber pistol last Thursday when he held the weapon to his chest to prevent his dog jumping up at it.
Brilliant.
As he stood up, his bad back gave out. He fell and hit his head on a glass coffee table. He heard a gunshot at the time, he said, but felt no pain.
Right. Probably because he just wanged his head on a coffee table.
Perhaps because he was taking medication for his back pain.
All right.
It was only on Saturday, as he changed from his long-sleeved black shirt into a light brown one, that he realised he'd injured himself.
I love the detail of the shirt he was wearing. Where was this? Was this published in Vogue or something?
This was in The Independent.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
Fair play.
So covering all the bases there. Right. I just love the mention of the glass coffee table.
There's a lot about this story that I quite enjoy.
Yeah.
Firstly, I want to know what drugs he's on. Strangely enough, not potent enough to mask the back pain that he's taking them for, but strong enough to mask him basically piercing his own bicep. So what have we learned from this? Firstly, don't clean your gun in the same room as you keep your dog. Secondly, you know, take medication that will actually help your back pain.
Yes.
And prevent you from
shooting yourself.
Turning yourself into a friggin' Tetley tea bag. And thirdly, change your shirt more often. You scummy son of a mother.
He's finally changed his shirt, and there's like,
oh, look at that. I've got an additional hole. An entry and exit wound that he somehow didn't notice for 2 days. Surely this was bleeding.
How did he not bleed out?
I don't know. Was it a really tight shirt? Did the tightness of it just kind of restrict the flow of the blood?
Or did somebody find him and then just decide to just put a pen in there?
Just use him as a temporary pencil case.
There you go. You woke up on somebody's desk.
Well, this isn't what I was expecting.
Got a Tippex mouse hanging out of his nostril.
I remember I was cleaning my gun and my dog was jumping up at me. And then I hit my face on the coffee table and suddenly I'm in someone's office holding a pentol. through my bicep.
Did he remain stationary?
Oh! Oh no, he didn't.
Oh yes, he did.
Oh, you son of a something.
Yes. Right. That's all the any other business.
Are we pressing onward?
We are pressing onwards. So as we press onwards,
let's press the sting.
Yeah.
You know you love that sound.
I love that sound.
Truly does.
I do love it.
Oh, yeah.
So, as you are aware, as you should be aware after the last few weeks, we are a music-based podcast.
Yep.
And we talk about music. And we talk about albums that we either love, have never heard before, or...
I'm utterly indifferent to.
Yeah.
I've had inflicted upon us, found in the street, in a bucket of offal.
Oh, really?
It happens sometimes.
Oh, you want to... Yeah. Gets caught up on the needle that does when you're listening to the vinyl.
Yeah, you don't want a vinyl offal based product.
No, it was a really bad move from going from the wax cylinder to the offal.
Basically, haggis with grooves in it.
Engraved offal.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
It was definitely a cul-de-sac of the musical format.
It certainly was. Yeah,
the haggis.
Yeah.
7-inch. Anyway, yes, so what's happened here is that John is a very, very big fan of Cardiacs.
He is.
So with this, we're introducing a little bit of a thing where one of us will play an early, probably debut album by the band that we're a big old fan of, that the other person may not necessarily be as familiar with.
Indeed.
And then we'll have a bit of an old discussion about it.
So, as Mike said, I became a fan of Cardiacs, I think, last year. And somebody shared a video of them rehearsing in about 2002, because they put on a set of concerts where they played all their earlier stuff that hadn't been re-released or, you know, that were difficult to get hold of. And... that was interesting. From that video, I saw a video for a song of theirs called R.E.S., which is a brilliant song and a brilliant video. And from that point, I was hooked.
Hooked, that was, ladies and gentlemen.
Hooked!
Which is stoke for hooked.
Yes.
Just so you know.
I was just really intrigued by the music that this band were creating, because they do a lot of unusual time signatures. Often within just the one song. And there are so many things packed into one Cardiac song that... And one of the things that I really liked is their sort of propensity for making music that sounds like somebody just playfully prodding your arm. Because there's almost an I Know a Song That'll Get On Your Nerves vibe to it. Which, there's a certain playfulness in that. And that's the sort of thing that initially attracted me to bands like Queens of the Stone Age, in that there is also a feeling of them having fun and just sort of like...
Oh, Christ, that last track on Rated R. If I've got a nice little anecdote regarding that from a time that we both worked at a music sound together, and we put Rated R on the stereo because we're both quite big fans of Queens of the Stone Age.
Yep.
And it got to that very last bit right at the end of the album where it's just a whole load of the old... It's flugelhorn or something.
It is flugelhorn, and then there's some really manic trumpets.
It's a whole lot of brass properly going off on one.
For 4 minutes?
For about four, yeah, something like that. Right.
The song itself is about 3 minutes, and then there's like 3 or 4 minutes of just...
blart.
Yeah.
Just brassy blart. And this woman just comes up to the counter and goes like, "Oh, I don't know how you can work in this."
We did what we're doing now. We did what we're doing now.
So I think that gives you a fairly decent idea of what we both like.
Yeah. So that's what kind of drew me to Cardiacs, is that there's a certain chaos, but really, really precisely calculated chaos.
I'll point out at this juncture, what would have been nice would have been if we could play the album and then Gogglebox style discuss it as it's playing.
Yeah.
But that would have involved requesting and paying for rights for
all
the music.
Sorts of legal things.
Just all kind of malarkey.
Yeah.
And we have neither the time, the money or the patience for any of that tomfoolery. So what we've actually done is that we played the album, gave it a dashed good listen through.
Yeah.
Me for the very first time ever, and John presumably for...
It's about the second or third time I've listened to it, third or fourth.
So we're going to basically discuss it in those conditions.
Yes. So Cardiacs, they've released two albums prior to this, which have yet to be remastered, or even as far as I know, the master tapes have yet to be discovered.
That is definitely, it's a block to the remastering process.
It really is.
We don't even know where the tapes are.
Have you got the source material? this album is called The Seaside, and it was released in, it says here, 1984. And then 4 years after that...
5 years old at the time.
Good Lord. Yeah, so was I. And then following that, in 1988, there was an album called A Little Man and a House and a Whole World Window.
Now, see, that's an album title that Of Montreal could only aspire to, I think.
Yeah, if you listen to us discuss that. If you listen to us discuss Of Montreal the other week.
But podcast number 3.
Yes.
Then, yes, you'll know about their love of the ridiculous album and or track title.
Yeah. And this, the song's on this called A Wooden Fish on Wheels, Nurses Whispering Verses.
I think that's got a certain lyricism to it.
It's got a very nice. Like and then there's Ice, A Spot and A Dot on the Dog.
That is a track title that encourages pristine enunciation.
It really is.
You've got to be crisp with that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just going.
Ice and a spot, and you got on the dog, and you're the you can't afford to have a glottal stop in the middle of that.
Indeed, you cannot.
No. So this album is for me, from what I'm experiencing of Cardiacs so far, this is a very formative album. Because what they became, I think, following this record, is they found their voices a lot more and became a lot more focused in what they were doing. So I find this is quite interesting. This album is available on iTunes, but it's the original. It's a different release because the one that Mike and I have listened to is a remaster, and there's a few songs that they put back on this that weren't on it on one of its previous iterations. So is that
because those tracks were released, were kind of put on to later releases as well? Was that the deal?
Only, three songs on this are on the 1988 album, but two of them, R.E.S. they left in.
Hmm.
Is This the Life and A Little Man and a House are on the 88 album, that those weren't on the original release. So it's kind of strange listening to this because it's like a precursor to the band that I actually started listening for, if that makes any sense.
What was the first album of those you ever listened to then?
Well, I think it was this one. It was the first, because I'd just heard clips and seen YouTube videos, and so there were songs like Gibber and Twitch was the one that was the 2002 video of them rehearsing.
Mm.
And then I discovered a song of theirs called Tarred and Feathered, which is on an EP that was released in later 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And then I discovered the video for R.E.S., which is the version of this album,
mm-hmm.
off The Seaside.
I remember while we listened to it, R.E.S., I think, was one of the ones that really stood out for me as being... this is a cracking tune.
Yeah.
You know. And although a lot of it, I mean, if we talk about the kind of the nature of the music that's on the album.
Yeah.
A lot of it, as you were saying, is the kind of the poke in the arm. Hey! A little bit, oh, one man. But it does drill down to a real kind of pop nouse. I mean, this.
Yeah.
It's, to me, I would put it under an art punk.
Yes.
Umbrella.
Yeah.
But as we were saying at the time that we were listening to it, they see themselves as more of a pop band.
Yes.
And you can feel the pop, the understanding of pop music there.
Yeah. They know how it works.
Yeah. But yeah, they like to have a good tinker under the hood and just see how fast this girl can go.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of mucking about.
Yes.
But it's a focused mucking about.
It's not
irritating. It's not just willful nonsense. They know what they're doing.
And it's interesting as well, because this particular album, the Seaside, and you can get the remastered edition of it from thecardiacs.net. And I would, there will be links in this to on our Tumblr to the
what's the Tumblr address, John?
AYP podcast, Mike.
Good God, that sounds like a very easy to remember name.
It does, doesn't
AYP
it?
AYP podcast.
Yeah, if you just look on that on Twitter,
note
Tumblr.
It down in your file of facts, you yes. 80s people.
Yes. I would always recommend getting Cardiacs albums from cardiacs.net, because that money goes towards Tim Smith's healthcare. Tim Smith is the frontman of Cardiacs, and it was in 2008 that he suffered a stroke, and then while he was recuperating in the hospital, suffered a series of debilitating strokes. And so Cardiacs is, as we would say, on indefinite hiatus, which is tragic for him, tragic for everyone who knows him, for all the people who were enjoying playing in the band. They were in the middle of recording another album at that point as well, so there's like a potential album of lost songs, which is also sad. So The Seaside, compared to albums that came after it, is quite scrappy. And it has that really strong air of sort of early 80s London. There's almost a kind of an Only Fools and Horses feel to the vocal delivery and all that sort of stuff.
It was funny, while we're listening to it, there's one track, I can't remember which one it was, hopefully you'll have a better idea, when you said, this one reminds me of Paul Weller. And
yes, I think it was Dinner Time.
And it does sound a bit like The Jam. If The Jam decided to just have a bit of a mess around with their sound, instead of making these kind of really brilliant but kind of neat kind of pop punk mod numbers, instead of doing that, they decided to, like, let's take this sound and just kick it about a bit.
Yeah.
If they decided to do that, then that is what it would have sounded like. It was a little bit like a more experimental early days Weller.
Yeah, it was, and I think that feel was quite strong. And then that feel sort of diminishes a little bit when you get to the 1988 album, which is Little Man in a House and a Whole World Window. R.E.S. also appears on that, and it's a slightly more focused version of what's on this.
Coming in as the neophyte, the more you talk about it, the more I kind of feel like I would like the later stuff.
Yes.
And I'll probably end up checking it out, because I really, to give you the Cliff Notes version of my opinion, I thought this album was brilliant.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel the way you talk about it, the later stuff is a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
I like my kind of art, pop, punk, experimental nonsense bands to be a bit scrappy.
Yes.
And so I really enjoyed the sound on this.
Yeah.
There were a lot of bands that came way after this that it reminded me of. There was a little bit of David Devon and Spirit Wife.
Yeah.
A little bit of They Came From The Stars, I Saw Them. A little bit of Death Sentence, Panda.
Yeah.
a little bit of all kinds of bands with ridiculous names.
It's funny as well, actually, because I remember you mentioning David Devon and his Spirit Wife. Because that time you came back from a gig of theirs and you had a balloon animal.
Yes, they taught me how to make a balloon dog. and it was amazing.
But I watched a documentary about David Devant and his spirit wife, and
they used to do magic shows.
Yeah,
it was just part of because they got their name from the a Victorian music hall act that was kind of part magic, part spiritualism.
And there was an amazing part of their act where he would sing the I don't know what the frontman's name is.
The Vessel.
The Vessel. Right, okay. So there would be a part of his set, the part of their set, where the Vessel would sing, but facing away from the audience, but with a big mirror in front of him. So, I'm miming it, but that's no use to anyone.
he would be singing into the mirror.
And pointing the mirror in different directions, so he could look at different different bit pockets of the crowd as such.
In later days, they do more kind of a screen, like a paper screen held by two stagehands at the start of the gig, and he'd be behind it, pulling a bit of a pose, singing into the microphone, lit from behind, so he'd have his silhouette on the screen, and then he'd burst through it.
Nice.
So they were definitely a band that appreciated stagecraft.
Yeah.
Do you know much about the Cardiacs and their on stage?
On stage, their presence. All the band wore those sort of hotel sort of busboy sort of outfits.
Brilliant.
Let me just have a look because I've got a picture of them here.
Oh yes, you showed me earlier. There are a couple of pictures from the. This is great radio, this is.
It is. but they all wore those sort of jackets with epaulettes and, you know, like bits of gold trim. Mm. And they all wore crimson uniforms, and Tim Smith wore the same but green.
Mm. And by the looks of it, some fairly slapdash makeup was going on.
Yeah, so they shared a lot presentationally with Split Enz.
Uh-huh.
So that was all. I don't know. Other than that, they just rocked onto stage and quite chaotically played. Played very much as you hear on record.
Mm-hmm.
There's one song of theirs called "Inner City Lining," which is on "A Little Man in a House." And Tim Smith would preface that with a little bit of monologue.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of which just went, "Poor soldier, despite all his charms, while he slept, they cut off his arm." And then he'd start screaming, and then they'd go into this song. They were a very interesting band, because there was a very art rock style to them. There was a punk sensibility to them. There was a ska sensibility to them.
Where were they from?
London,
right. That just suddenly occurred to me.
Down south.
It's starting to, as our David Devant and Spirit Wife, actually, they still maintain a live presence to this day, but mostly down south.
Yeah.
But the more I was hearing about them, the more they sounded like some kind of East Village, New York kind of. Yeah, I can imagine them playing in lofts in Greenwich Village or something.
They were just kicking about England. I remember one story about Fish from Marillion. Really liked them.
Mm.
And so he had them support Marillion on a tour.
Good God.
I
bet they had bottles thrown at them.
Yes, they did. They did. They didn't play the last three nights of the tour.
No kidding.
Because there was one night where Fish had to come out and chastise the audience for being so ill-behaved towards a band that he absolutely loved.
I cannot imagine a Marillion audience going for Cardiacs at all. Because it is one of those things. It's something we actually discussed earlier while we were actually listening to the album.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where you're listening to it and you think, "I love this,"
mm-hmm.
but 90% of all people, at least 90% of all people, listen to it and think, "This is nonsense."
The people who love it absolutely adore Cardiacs, but
they're very much in the minority.
There doesn't seem to be a middle ground.
Mm.
And I know
Having listened to that, I don't know what the other stuff's like, but having listened to that album, I can't imagine being indifferent to it.
Yes. Well, this is it. There was a guy, there's a chap on YouTube, and I can't remember his name, and it's probably just as well because I don't want to attract undue attention. There's a chap...
We're happy to attract any attention at this point, frankly, but we'll carry on.
But there's a chap who reviews prog albums on his YouTube channel.
Oh, right.
And somebody had been badgering him to do A Little Man and a House and a Whole World Window. And his review was 90% of him sort of laughing in bemusement, not really knowing what to say.
I think, based on listening to this A-side, is a reasonable reaction.
It was kind of. I mean, the people in the pond, which is what Cardiac's fans refer to themselves as a collective.
Okay.
Call themselves the Pond. There is a reason for that, and I can't remember what it is.
right.
But they all took severe umbrage to the review. Mm-hmm. And I kind of did, because there were some things that he said in the video that were sensible and quite good review points.
Mm-hmm,
But a large chunk of it sounded like he was just sort of pretending to laugh in order to fill out the time. And he also left a chunk in the video where he went off and picked up a shoe delivery that had just turned up at his house. Didn't edit that out.
That's a bit gettish.
It was just... I think if he'd just narrowed it down and focused a little bit, he would have been able to perfectly articulate that he liked R.E.S., but it irritated him that it was stuck in his head. Because the riff is basically...
It will lodge right in there.
Yeah. But other than that, he was trying to say that it was rubbish, but he couldn't really bring himself to say that it was rubbish, because he kept sort of going, well, I can see why some people might like it, And so it was a very strange video review.
Mm.
But a big fuss kicked up about it on the Cardiac's Facebook group. And it turned into a bit of a situation.
Really?
Yeah. So
now, you see, again, as the outsider here, I can appreciate, firstly, why someone listening to that album... I don't know about how that... The album you're mentioning, so if it's anything like The Seaside, what we've done, just listened to, just...
Yes.
I can appreciate how laughter might be a very valid response.
Yeah.
Taking shoe delivery, that's... Come on now, eh? Yeah. You know? let's not be that guy. You know?
Yeah, well...
Let's try and take it semi-seriously.
That was kind of what people's grumble was.
Yeah, but I have seen exactly how rabid fans of certain bands can behave.
There was an element of that
they
as well.
There's groups that I'm members of on Facebook and such, and I'm massive fans of certain people. And generally the groups are great, but every now and then you kind of want to just take certain members of the group and slap other members of the group with them.
For being...
And just smack them all about. Just calm yourself down. You're not a personal friend of the person who's made this music.
Yeah.
So calm it. Sit your ass down, girl.
You can be too precious.
It's very easy. But... When I suppose that's the thing with music, when you've listened to and really, really loved an album, you feel it become part of you.
Yes.
And you almost feel like you know the person.
Yeah.
Who's created this music. You know them. They're your bezzy mates. But they're not. You've never met them. You don't know who they really are.
Yeah.
They could be an awful person for all you know.
I'm often actually really turned off by a band if I discover that the person who I'm listening to is a dick.
Yeah.
It's really off-putting, because you can't really buy into whatever message they're kind of broadcasting with the music. So I always find it really difficult if somebody turns out to be...
I've never got into Van Morrison.
No.
For much that reason.
Mm.
That's something that may crop up in another episode, because we are looking at listening to
Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stone top 100 albums, but picking out the ones that we've never listened to, which having read the Rolling Stone top 100 albums,
it's most of them.
Most it's like 90 odd.
Yeah.
So it's quite possible that Van Morrison may crop up at some point in the not too distant.
And that'll be interesting.
That will be interesting because I've gathered that he's made a lot of wonderful music, but the guy himself, every time I read him into, I just want to slap him with the dry side of my hand.
Just
a hairy slap.
We should start the podcast and put it on like a 25 minute countdown timer and then just stop recording it when it hits there.
Good lord.
There we go, that's a format. So yeah, anyway,
back on topic. Cardiacs. I am going to rate The Seaside by Cardiacs, having heard it for the first time on this day, two thumbs up.
Out of how many?
Out of the two thumbs that I have, John. I'm holding them up right in front of you. I don't have any secret thumbs. This is both of the thumbs I have. Then they're up.
Excellent. Well, that's very good. Out of the two thumbs, you've given two thumbs.
Yes.
I'm going to go two thumbs and a big toe.
Oh, you dirty bastard!
So yeah, I think this edition of The Seaside, it starts really strongly. I think there's little bits in the middle that feel a bit too scrappy and a bit too messy.
There is some conspicuous mucking about, but I like that. You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's important in this world to have bands that will just bugger about a bit.
Yeah.
And just challenge the edges of of what we understand as music.
Yeah.
And God almighty. I know that was so pretentious.
That was really deep.
Oh God.
God, imagine what he'll say. Imagine what he'll say once he's finished this beer. But yeah, I think with this edition of The Seaside, by the time it gets to the end of it, by the time you get to RES and To Go Off and Things, it's a great song title.
It's brilliant.
By the time it gets to that bit, you can really see the band forming into what it's going to be by the time they get around to like the next album 4 years later.
And so, I think that's all we have to say on the matter, pretty much. Yeah.
It certainly is.
Thanks for listening, all you folks at home.
Yeah.
God bless you. God bless us, everyone.
Thank you to everybody who's listening. If you've got anything you want to say to us, you can tweet us at AYP Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Facebook at AYP Podcast, or just search for All Yesterday's Parties. We're on Tumblr for AYP Podcast. And
if you shout our names into a canoe, it sounds really good.
Yeah,
you won't do anything about it, but you know, you'll feel better as a person.
Yeah, we'll shout our names into a canoe, row it down the, shove it down the Trent.
Yes,
and hopefully we should pick it up somewhere around about the Festival Park area. And yeah, if you want to send us a tweet and ask us to read something out, as long as it's not obscene, then we'll do our best to bother.
Yeah.
So that's been us. That's been us talking about Cardiacs. Go to www.cardiacs.net, pick up their back catalogue, and you will thank me, hopefully.
And there'll be more details on Tumblr as well, where we'll chuck a few recommendations of tracks and such like.
There certainly will. There will be all of these things, so if you keep tuning in, there will be more stuff coming. So thank you very much for listening, and good night. You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties with John and Mike.
That's what she said.
Yeah. The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.
What up, bro?